Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and start the recording as we're waiting for people to show up. For folks that are listening to this as an archive, this is the By Yahweh's Design Wednesday Night Chat. And the date today, of course, is the 31st day of May. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Year 2023. Memorial Day, summer coming upon us, which means for us down here in Florida, of course, that means that's when the blast furnace 3 months come. July and August being the worst, of course. But that being said, it's just amazing how fast time is flying. I wanted to read a verse here real quick. I looked up on my topical website where it goes into biblical topics. So I just wanted to see what it had to say about confusion in the last days. And I noticed it said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. But then you drop down to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, and it says, children, in the last hour, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now, notice it said now, many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that this is the last hour. So a couple other translation versions I have up on that one there particularly was the English Standard Version. And then I've got over here the World English Bible. Little children, these are the end times. And as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have risen. Adversaries of the Christian way or the Messiah's way. By this we know that it is the final hour or the late hour or the final stage. It's kind of funny. A lot of platforms here lately have been talking about the ending of an earth age is what we're approaching. So I found those scriptures to be quite enlightening as we look at the immorality and the destruction in the world around us. In fact, I was telling family members that they should go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And maybe I'm wrong about the chapter. Let's see. Or maybe it's 1 Thessalonians. Maybe my memory's slipping me here, or else I've got the wrong version. I'm looking for Ella Ure, an encyclopedia. I'm looking for that description of man's state in the last days. If you can put it in the chat room there. Wait a minute. I know it's one of these. I thought it was 2 Thessalonians 3. Too ambiguous. It's the description of the state of men in the latter days. I thought it was, maybe it was Timothy I'm thinking of. Timothy, not Thessalonians. Yeah, there it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So godlessness in the last days. Now, you hear a lot of translators in different folks talk about lawlessness, and they're often talking about the man's law, but that's not really what it's talking about. Godlessness or lawlessness is the same thing, because it's talking about God's law. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, but know this, that in the last days, and we just talked about there in John and Timothy, chapter 3, that the last days were known in John's time because of different signs and the fact that there was already tribulation. against believers. So there's nothing new here under the sun. But know this, that in the last days, grievous times will come, for men will be lovers of self. Now, you could say men and women, but they use the word men here. Lovers of self. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to today that have talked about the fact that people are without natural affection, completely without it. It's amazing. Now, Ella has here that there's no natural affections also found in Romans chapter 1, verse 26. If we get time, we'll go to there. But so, grievous times, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Oh, my God, is that one on point for today? Boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, the word holy here is from a word that has to do with being set apart or consecrated to the Father. So, basically, turning away from our Father in heaven. Without natural affection, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, not lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, could say stubborn, stiff-necked, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim God, having a form of godliness, but having denied its power. Turn away from these also. For some of these are people who creep into houses and take captive gullible women, loaded down with sins. Sins, of course, are transgressions of God's law. A gentleman from Greece who lives in America, in fact, he lives here in Florida, told me in the Greek scriptures, this word referring to gullible women is also talking about effeminate men. So it's not, the word woman here includes females and effeminate or effeminate men. So captive, gullible men and effeminate men and women loaded down with transgressions of our Father's laws, which look around you. Almost nobody cares about following his law. Led astray by various lusts, always learning, always searching supposedly for wisdom and knowledge, and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So they're looking, always looking, claiming they're trying to find answers or getting more degrees, spending more time in study. But what they're doing is trying to find ways around the restrictions of God's law, trying to find their way to be able to do what they want to do and not have anybody oppose them. Even as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so there were two adversaries, antichrists, not devils, not spiritual demons, just adversarial men. So as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so do these, the people we just described, also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind, who concerning the faith are rejected, but they will proceed no further, for their folly will be evident to all men, as theirs also came to be. Amazing. So again, the final days, Daniel 12:4 is saying here, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. We did a deep dive into that, where many shall run to and fro. Look at what's happening across the face of the earth right now. People traveling in high-speed trains, automobiles, airplanes, crossing the ocean, so men are going to and fro. And knowledge, information shall increase. The only problem with it is information's increasing, but truth is decreasing. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? And we've heard that on recent video chats. Remember that? Mike from Miami was one famous for saying that, you know, where's the promise of his coming? Forever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. And we hear that all the time. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. So, amazing. I'll tell you what, we're going to have a light turnout. I didn't send out a notice. I was hoping people would remember where we are on Wednesday nights, but maybe I got to send a little tickler every single week. And also on the website, I have Listen Live tells you the day and time and how to tune in for the broadcast. So I'm going to bring Ella on here. Let's talk about this. Ella, what are your thoughts about these verses as far as the godlessness in the last days? Is that what you're seeing too?
Oh, brother, yes. My kids are filled with it.
Yeah, there's many in our circle. I'm on the phone with people every day. It's just maybe that's part of the reason I'm struggling with depression some more than I've ever done in my entire life, because it's difficult to listen to people telling what's going on in their life and not have that affect you. Especially as horrendous as what Ella's going through with her family, with a friend of mine, a neighbor, her girlfriend just recently passed away, and her sons, while she's still living, dying of cancer, she's in a hospital bed in the living room of her home. The boys are busy gathering up her stuff and selling it as fast as they can. She hasn't even passed yet. And when she did pass, they did not honor her wishes in her will at all. As far as she's Catholic. She wanted a mass. She wanted to be buried in a certain graveyard, and they had her cremated. I mean, people's lack of natural affection seems to be everywhere right now. Is that how you see it, Ella?
Yes, very much so.
It's
people don't seem to realize anything is going on. If you mention, you know, things are really bad, they just shrug their shoulders and look at you like a deer in the headlights and think you're nuts and walk away. They have no idea. Some people have absolutely no idea there's anything going on.
Well, that reminds me of something that just happened today, and maybe this is a good time to talk about it. I'll get your input on it as well. But we've talked about the Ark Project, because it says, as it was in the days of Noah, you know, Noah built an ark, and the righteous got together and went inside the ark, and then the judgments from the Almighty came in the form of a flood. But Noah had built the ark as he was instructed. And of course, everybody made fun of him that he was a complete idiot, because it had never even rained, I believe, up until that point, let alone have huge bodies of water. And so he's built this thing called a boat, an ark, and they're all ridiculing him for his stupidity until the day it started raining. And then, you know, they went into the ark and closed the door. In fact, Yahweh himself closed the door, according to Scripture. And I think that's because he was not going to allow them to get soft-headed and soft-hearted and let some of the heathens into the ark. So he sealed it up, and here comes the waters, and it drowned all of those naysayers, but the righteous were safely in the ark. So we had the idea that we should build communities and call them ark communities, and we wanted to have a project to build that. Well, today I was talking to a young man who's got a friend down here in South Florida, and his father has hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds. The young man himself is a multimillionaire and owns property all over the state. Very expensive property in I can't remember, of down in the Keys. What's it called? The North Key there, where it's very, the rich go. It's escaping me right now. But anyway, he's got these properties. He's got multiple millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. His dad's got hundreds of millions of dollars. And I asked the young man, I said, did he ever offer to help out financially with the obtaining of land because of what we see coming? He goes, just like you said, Ella, he said, no, this guy thinks because of their great wealth that they're going to be above all the things that are going on. So he doesn't even care. He doesn't even care. And I said, well, why wouldn't he want to reach out, because he knows you do care, for his probable play money? You could buy 50 to 100 acres, even at today's prices, with money this guy probably wastes on dinners and going out and stuff like that. Why has he ever offered to help, like buy some land and be the landlord and set it up that you could, pay it back with little interest, but pay it back over time, and then he would get his money back? And he said, well, no. And I started thinking about that, so I talked to a few other people today, and I said, well, somebody explain to me why it is. The enemies of our people are donating large sums of money for every ungodly thing you can imagine. Am I to assume then that the godly don't see any problem today, or don't see anything worthy of their financial support? And again, I don't care if people give to this ministry. That's not what I'm saying. But I would think that there would be some interest in supporting a small group of people that say they want to create a homestead where there's biblically managed farm and ranch as a ministry, to where they could come for sanctuary, or at least know that there's clean water and food there available to them. Is that not enough to warrant them financing a little bit of it? Maybe not all of it, but kicking in some to help. And again, their money would come back to them. It's not like anybody's asking for a handout. It's simply asking somebody who believes in what we believe to finance our efforts with the promise that we will work, and the extra monies that come in will go towards buying them out, getting their money back to them, and then we would own the land. I mean, does that sound unreasonable to you, Ella?
Not at all. Hmm. That's what we've been looking for years.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, excuse me, I was out mowing. I got dust in my throat. We were talking about that, and, you know, just a thought hit me that as I was mowing my lawn today, I have a full acre of land. It's beautiful land. It's only accessible by car. You can't walk from a city here because it's too far out. It's up in the boondocks. And it's never floods, never, because it's way up on a hill. And I'm thinking, Dan, maybe if you give some thought to it, why couldn't somebody come and try to work my land and make a garden there? It's free.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And
the people next door have a living camping trailer right there on their property, so there's no restrictions. So you and I can talk about this later and see what we can do.
Right.
But right now we need to have more people get interested in getting out of Babylon rather than trying to fix it.
Right, right. Our job isn't to fix Babylon, it's to get out of Babylon. Amen to that. Well, we'll put some more thought to it and see what happens. Maybe the Spirit of the Father will reach out there and we'll get some good suggestions or some offers of help. But you have...
I could have done it myself, but I'm 80 years old. I can mow my lawn. I can take care of my house. I can do my housework, wash, cleaning, and all that. But I can't go out and plant a garden.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit too much beyond capabilities. I'd love to do it, but I'd probably drop dead out there.
Especially in Texas heat.
I wanted to tell you, when I went out there today to start the mower, a yellow jacket or a hornet flew up and zapped my middle finger on my left hand. Last time this happened, I lived in North Carolina, and my whole hand swelled up the size of a basketball, and it was painful for about 3 weeks. But today, when that happened, I immediately got off my mower, came in the house, and drenched my hand with apple cider vinegar. Now there's no sign of a bite.
Oh, no kidding.
I was amazed. I thought, there goes my left hand for a couple of weeks, not going to be able to use it. There's just a little tiny slight swelling at the site where I got bit or stung. But it does not hurt at all, and there's very, very little to no swelling. So if anybody gets red ant bites or hornet bites or anything like that, apple cider vinegar will take away the pain and the sting and the swelling.
Now, when you say you put that on there, are you talking about just putting some like on a cotton ball and just getting it nice and wet?
Oh, wow. I love apple cider vinegar. I haven't been sick in 35 years. I take apple cider vinegar, so I keep a gallon jug of it with a squirt spout on it. I keep it by the sink. When I came in, I put my hand on the sink and I squirted it on my hand.
Oh, okay. It has like a pump top, a pumper?
Yes.
Okay, so you
very
put a
effective.
You put a pretty healthy dose on your hand.
Yeah, then I took some Kleenex and just dabbed off the excess from underneath my hand, and I just left it on there, went out and finished mowing the lawn, and I just came in 2 minutes before the show here, and I just had time to turn on the computer.
Wow.
And all is well in my world.
Well, also, your immune system since that time, I think, has taken a quantum leap upwards because of your different things that you're doing for your health. I believe that probably plays a part in it as well.
Well, you've changed my whole life from when we first met on the internet 5 years ago. I've gone down three clothes sizes, and I feel terrific. I have terrific energy. I almost don't need a cane to walk anymore. And people say I don't look my age. I don't feel it. I still feel like I'm 19.
Well.
And I got to say, Dan, it was you talking about organic food. Don't eat shellfish, shrimp, ham, all that stuff. I don't eat it anymore. And,
yep.
You know, I'm not hungry all the time anymore either.
Right. Right.
So your ways of doing things have worked for me. And God bless you. Yahweh bless you for doing this. And if other people listen to you, it can happen to them. You're never too old to feel better. Never.
And I believe you said recently that you are now off of all of your medications, aren't you?
Oh, I got off a bit. When you started talking about that, I looked at my list. And one by one, I knew them because I'm a retired nurse. And I knew which ones I could drop immediately. if you're on any, he prescribed statin drugs for my cholesterol. I didn't even fill the prescription because I know that stuff is poison for your liver. But I dropped all my other medications that were on. I just, if you couldn't stop them immediately, I weaned myself off of them by taking half of one a day, then a quarter of a one a day, then a quarter one every other day, and then a quarter of one once a week, and then I finally stopped. And I had no side effects at all from taking myself off all those medicines. I'm on nothing now.
Yep. Yep. There's a few people I know like that. I've never been on medications, so I've been blessed. I don't have to wean myself off anything because I'm not on anything, and I've actually never been on anything. But I've got family members that have done something very similar to what you're doing. They just sort of, they drop the things they could drop, not all at once. They drop one and then wait a while and then drop something else and wait a while and see if there was any negative effect. And then the ones that you, like you said, there are some that you need to wean yourself off of slowly. And they did something similar to you did, you know, cut the dosage for a week. Then the following week, cut it again. The following week, cut it again until finally you're down to such a small dose that you can. And again, you monitor it, right? You just don't quit it and ignore it. You monitor yourself and see if there's any kind of signs of a negative effect. If there are, then of course you go back on the small dose until the symptoms go away. So there is a way to do it. They don't want you to, of course, because doctors get money from the pharmaceuticals. The pharmaceuticals are making obscene money selling drugs. So obviously they don't have any incentive for us to get to the point where we don't need to be beholden to either one of them for much of anything. Personally, I don't go to doctors anymore. I haven't even been to a dentist or an eye doctor in about 4 or 5 years now. I probably should have my eyes checked.
The only reason I went to a doctor was because I had a terrible abscess in my bottom tooth, and I had to go to a dentist. So I went to the dentist, and he looked, and he helped that abscess, and he said, but I can't help you any other way because your blood pressure is too high. And I was on blood pressure medicine. No, I wasn't on blood pressure medicine. I wasn't on anything back then. That was about the same time I met you. And so he took my blood pressure, and it was high. But if I go to a doctor's, my blood pressure goes high. So I had to get an appointment to go to a doctor, and he put me on all these different kind of medicines. Then I finished having my teeth worked on and everything. Then afterwards, the last time I went to the doctor, it was in the middle of this COVID BS stuff, and I refused to wear a mask, but when my daughter took me to the doctors, they said, you can't go in to see the doctor unless you have your mask on. So they brought a mask out. I said, I can't wear a mask because I'm terribly claustrophobic, and if you put anything over my face, I panic. So they allowed me to clip it over my ears and not put it over my face, which was totally ridiculous. And they said, just as long as you can pass the cameras in the hall going into the doctor's office. So I strung it around my ears, and the minute I walked in the office, I flipped it off. And then when we were talking about the COVID thing, and I asked him about the coracoid cartilage at the bottom of the nose and the PCR tests, he couldn't give me a definitive answer on that. So when I turned around, I felt like a concentration camp inmate, the way they treated me in that doctor's office. And when I walked out there, I told my daughter, I'm not ever going back again. And that's when I turned on the computer and I listened to you on there talk about this. And I said, I'm going to do that because I had the need and the want to do it. And I did it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dan.
No, you're quite welcome. You know, praise Yahweh.
That's what started it all off. But, you know, Yahweh tells us in the Bible, you know, particularly Psalm 90:10, that we only live a certain amount of years. And Yahweh knows every hair on our head, and he knows the exact day we were going to die. So why take medicines and stuff? You're not going to prolong anything. And if you go in the doctors and they take your blood pressure, you have what's called stress hypertension. You go in there and you automatically get a high blood pressure reading. I take my blood pressure at home and it was like maybe 140 over 80 or something like that. But they advise old people it's better to have higher blood pressure than lower blood pressure, because if it's too low, you're going to pass out. So anyway, I know as a nurse that your blood pressure is different. If you take it five times a day, it's going to have a different reading five times a day. And that makes you worry. So my advice is take your blood pressure and throw it in the garbage. That's what I did. I have not taken my blood pressure in 5 years. I don't know what it is, but I feel terrific. And right. The people that used to work the fields and back in the 1800s and something, they didn't have blood pressure cuffs to check their health, did they?
No.
Did Moses have a blood pressure cuff? And he lived to 120.
No, that's right.
Okay.
You generally,
I yield, man.
Yeah, you generally know you're okay with things when everything's okay. I mean, your breathing is normal. There's no pain. There's no side effects, whether it's blood pressure causing it or not. And then the funny thing is you go to the medical clinics, you go to the doctors, and half the time they'll run tests and tests and tests, and still they don't have a definitive answer. They have what they call guesses. They're just guessing. So let's try this. Well, what do you mean try? You went to all that school. You have all these hundreds or millions of dollars in test equipment and procedures, and yet it boils down to, well, we'll try this and see what happens. It's like, that sounds like a very inexact science to me. Whereas homeopathics, I went to classes that took very little time out of my life to attend these classes, and they didn't waste any time teaching nonsense like giving Latin names to all the bones and different arteries and all this stuff. They didn't spend a single moment with that stupidity. Instead, they said, here's what a normal body should look like and feel like and how it acts. And when you're in dis-ease, which means out of balance, these are the kind of symptoms you'll see. And there's different homeopathic things you can do to test. There's the blood pressure points that you can do muscle testing on different parts of the body. You can do questionnaires on what are your symptoms. Are you dizzy? You know, things like that. Hungry? What's your thumbnails look like? What's your tongue look like? What's your eyelids and eye? Your iris of your eye tells you a lot. That's called iridology. What are your urination and bowel movements like? Because they tell you a lot of things about what's going on. So there's. It used to be called triage until modern medicine under the Rockefellers came along. When it was natural, the triage of somebody in an accident or on a battlefield or whatever, triage was going up and applying what the naturopathy does today. You looked in the person's eyes, where the iris is dilated or not. You know what colors and different points of interest inside the iris. Look at their, are they sweating or not? What's their pulse, etc. Things that you could easily check at the person's side without all of this high technology, and you would be pretty darn accurate about what condition the person is. So immediately you do the first aid things, which is obviously make sure that there's blood pumping and that they're breathing. That's the main thing, and that there's no major blood loss. Okay, once everything is stabilized, you get them to a better facility where calm people can take a look at them and ask questions, and then you go from there. But I mean, we have overcomplicated things at this point in time to the point it's almost ridiculous what's going on. Totally ridiculous. I don't know. I've watched people go from the hardy people of my youth, which was in the 40s and 60s, when people could handle some pain, discomfort, they didn't panic, they didn't run to the doctor, I remember one time I fell on a very sharp rock when I was a boy on a farm, and I put a hole in my belly, a pretty good sized hole. And it was probably about a half inch to a three quarters of inch indentation in my belly. And it wasn't bleeding real bad, but it was a pretty good sized hole. Well, it was fortunate because two of my aunts were visiting, and both of them were nurses. And so they didn't panic. They didn't say, let's run into town and get them to the hospital. They just took me inside. They washed out the wound and poured it, poured peroxide on it until the foaming and bubbling of that peroxide stopped, put a bandage on it, and told me to go back outside and play. No big deal. Okay, now everybody acts like somebody's going to die, and, oh, you got to run, you got to get shots, you got to worry about tetanus, you got to worry about this, you got to worry about that. Worry, 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 worry. Here we go. Keep you afraid of some unknown thing, and they can literally just empty your bank account with tests, drugs, vaccines, you name it. It's just amazing, just amazing. I see we got John here. Let me see if John's got anything he wants to bring to the... John, I've unmuted you, buddy, if you got anything that you want to bring to the table.
Benton, good evening. No, not at this time. I'll just listen to the broadcast.
Okay, John. Thanks a lot, bud. Take care.
All righty.
Yahweh bless. All right. That's our friend John in Miami. But... I try to tell people you've got to stop. First of all, you got to stop watching television. That's a must.
Amen.
If you want any chance to maintain your sanity and your rationale at this point in time, it is an absolute necessity to shut your television off. You got to do it. Everything out there has propaganda in it. I don't care if it's a sitcom, a TV series, a movie, a documentary. Everything that they're producing has got the new wokeism in it. It's got the Holocaust propaganda. It's got the worship the Jews propaganda. It's got the anti-white male propaganda. It's got the any white that promotes the Second Amendment or anything about weapons and things like that. It's always negative, painted in a very negative way. Everything about World War I and World War II is painted in the wrong way. So almost every single thing they produce will have that kind of propaganda in it. But the biggest thing is it's fear porn. No matter what kind of show it is, they will work fear porn into the dialogue, into the scene, into the story that they're telling. It will be worked in there. So as we said, you know, turn the damn television off. Shut your cell phones off. I've gotten to where at night I turn mine in airplane mode or I turn it off. Either one, and put it in a foil bag. Some people call them anti-static or RFID type. Trying to think of the right word here. We used to call them anti-static bags, but they basically shield the device from getting signals in or out. So they're all Faraday. They call them Faraday bags today. Yeah, because they're named after John Faraday. In fact, I have a book right, or Michael Faraday, I'm sorry, Michael Faraday, because farads, that is the way we measure capacitance. Just like ohms are how we measure resistance and resistors, and then we have inductors also. But capacitors are measured in microfarads. Named after Michael Faraday. So, forget where I was going with that. Yep, just jumped out of my head. So
that happens to me a lot.
I know. I got sidetracked trying to remember back in my electronics days. It's been so long.
As you're watching television, how many trannies do you see now?
Thanks to you, I see way too many. That also takes away from any value of what's on the screen, because there's so many perversions, perversion of God's law, perversion of gender, the pushing of the homosexual agenda. It's just, oh my God, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now, what I wanted to tell anybody, when we were talking about the health-wise, and if you feel like something is wrong or somebody passes out, all you have to remember is ABC. Airway, make sure the airway is open, make sure they're breathing, and check to make sure their heart is beating. Those are the three things. If those things are present, they'll probably be okay. They might have just fainted or had an episode or something. And not all people can be defibrillated either. When their heart stops, they think as long as there's a defibrillator around, they can bring them back. But that's not always the case, because it depends upon what causes them to pass out. If you pass out with a heart arrhythmia, as long as you have some kind of rhythm in your heart, they can bring you back. But if you flatline, it's not possible to bring a person back, because you have to have electrical activity to begin with to stimulate it. Most people don't know that.
That's the first I've heard that. You're right. In industry, we put those defibrillators everywhere. They never said that. They made it sound like that you automatically try to bring them back no matter what. So
that's why they used to do the precordial thump. That if someone passed out and you couldn't hear a heartbeat, you take your fist like you're going to punch them, and right where that joint is in the middle of the chest, you give them a good bang. That can sometimes start their heart up right away. Or keep an electrical rhythm so that if you put a defibrillator on them, it can bring them back. But if they lay down, their heart stops from a heart attack, a myocardial infarction or something like that. If they do that and there's no cardiac activity, they're gone. If you flatline,
wow,
you cannot bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if you have a rhythm like, if you have atrial fibrillation or ventricular fibrillation or an arrhythmia of a heart block, Mobitz blocks or Wenckebach blocks or something like that, they can use a defibrillator to regulate your heart rhythm. But if you are flatlined, you cannot be brought back.
Hmm. Wow. Well, you learn something new every day. And as I was telling my son, I said, it's amazing that I'm reaching this age in my life. And at that late stage in your life, you realize that everything that you were taught when you were younger was a lie. Almost everything was a lie. It's almost mind-blowing that we could be in this world this long and they could get away with lying to the degree that they have. Praise Yahweh that he allowed computers and the internet. Everybody says it was the enemy that did that, but did they? Or was that Yahweh, the enemy, thinking they were going to use it to corral us and put us in an electronic prison? When Yahweh turned around and they did that, it opened up the door for the transference of truth and information like never before. And because of that, there are a large number of people, not everybody, but there are a large number of people today that are wide awake to the lies and deceptions of these monsters that walk in shoe leather. So praise Yahweh for that. So,
hey, Dan, did you remember when you were young and in your family, how many times a year did your family go to the doctors for a checkup?
Oh, they didn't.
My family never went.
Yeah, we never. As far as I know, nobody ever went.
If we had something wrong with us, we would call the doctor and he'd come to our house, or we would call the doctor if we had like a broken bone or bleeding or something like that that couldn't stop. But as for someone feeling sick or just not feeling good, upset stomach or anything like that, we never call the doctor. Sore throats, they gave us stuff like honey and things like that to get rid of it. We never went on antibiotics back then.
True.
And most of us survived just great.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of my relatives got ill later in life. First of all, when they got older, many of them put on tremendous amounts of weight. And that is a killer, folks. I don't know how often I got to stress that, but carrying that excess weight around is extremely hard on every organ of your body. It's hard on the muscles. It's hard on the joints. And my relatives that put that weight on ended up with diabetes. Many of them ended up, not too many had cancer. There wasn't that many cancers back then. But they'd have a lot of joint problems. They would have renal failure eventually, but they would have parts of their organs would shut down. They'd have a lot of trouble with their livers, a lot of trouble with, like I said, their joints went out of whack back then. They didn't do like getting a knee replacement or a hip replacement. So they had to deal with the pain. And sometimes they were wheelchair ridden or on crutches. Those were the main things, but again, it was bad habits, bad diet, bad habits. So the people that did not do that, that stayed relatively fit and all, they lived long lives and usually didn't have many problems at all. Occasionally you'd lose a cousin or a second cousin to a jealous lover, but that's been going on since man's been on the earth.
When I worked in a doctor's office for about a year before I retired, I found out that there are so many men below the age of 50 even that were having erectile dysfunction and calling for Viagra or Cialis or whatever I know what you call them, erectile dysfunction drugs.
Right, there are the two biggest ones.
And half the problem is if they're on high blood pressure medicine or statin drugs, they can't perform. And that's one thing that keeps people healthy, having an active sex life with their woman companion. That does them both good. It keeps your weight down. It makes you happier. You bond. You have a better outlook on life. So all these drugs that doctors put you on take away the joy from your life.
Exactly. And if you think about it, that's another incentive for them to keep men and women at odds with each other, is so that they can't come together for that energy connection that intimacy brings. That is a spiritual connection. That's a bonding connection. It's a form of stress relief. It's a form of exercise and cardiovascular health. All of those things come from that, and yet today, especially here in America, I've noticed, thanks to our enemy and what they've done, we have our men and women are at odds with each other more than they are together. They've turned the women into basically men haters. So the white man, which we said this on the radio a long time ago, in these final days, the white male, especially the heterosexual warrior type male, has a huge target on his back. They've turned the children against us. They've turned our women against us. They've turned these other people against us. They want everybody to look at the strong, masculine white male as if he's got leprosy. He's the problem. And so now it's, you know, they have
all these women want to become stronger. I am woman, watch me roar. I think Helen Reddy had a song like that. They were following this person called Gloria Steinem, who was a leader of the women's movement. But women don't understand or realize that Gloria Steinem was born a man. She is a tranny. So it's all these men that converted themselves to women that were telling that women need to be free. And women had more freedom than you could even imagine, when all they had to do, which was a lot, is stay home, take care of their husbands, raise their children, provide good food for them, a clean house, and watching them and raising them and teaching them. That's what women are supposed to be doing now. But all these men women came along and saying, women, you don't need to be slaves to your man. I never considered being a slave in a married life when you are happily married and raising children. That's a joy. It should be a joy for a woman to do those things. Women have stopped being women and they're trying to be men because men, as women, are trying to tell them how to be. That's ridiculous.
Yep, no argument there. Yep, no argument there. Well, we've got a lot of things are upside down, topsy-turvy, and the good news is we're figuring it out. We're figuring out who did it and why. And we know the solution, which is get back to our basics, get back to the biblical law, get rid of man's law, get rid of corporations. All of this centralization is evil. Get rid of the organized, even the organized church is evil. Centralized church, centralized religion is evil. Every one of them is evil. It's the same as the corporation, same as the man-made governments. They are not here for our benefit. Not at all.
Tell them what Nicolaitans means in Revelation 2:6. Yahweh hates the Nicolaitans. Tell them what it means. You should know.
Well, power to the people. Right? People power.
Well, Nicolaitans means power over the people. You have a pastor who's been to seminary, or I call it cemetery, teaching, and he teaches his flock what he knows. And that's all they learn. If he teaches wrong doctrine, that's what they're all learning, wrong doctrine. One man is not supposed to be teaching the body of Christ. We are all supposed to be learning ourselves from the Bible through teachings with the Holy Spirit guiding us. And then when we get together, like in these meetings, we discuss what we've learned. And then if anybody has a difference, they give their opinion. And if they're wrong, we correct them, and we nip it in the bud. They don't go their whole life learning wrong doctrine. But that's not the way it's done now. They think going to church is what makes you saved.
Yep. Yep. It's true. People go and they, there's been some people tell me they've been to churches where the pastor told them, don't read the Bible. I'll tell you all you need to know. Yep. I was just trying to find that in the Greek to see what the Greek definition of that was, but I can't seem to find it here. It'll take me too long.
If you look it up on the internet, most of the time they give you, it's a doctrine of St. Nicholas that says this or that or the other thing, which is totally false. So they don't want you to know what Nicolaitans means, because it means that there's one man over a bunch of people. It's power over the laity, which should not happen.
Yeah, laos. Laos. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I wanted to hear what the Greek said, if you found it.
Well, give me the verse. I can find it if you give me the verse.
Revelation 2:6.
3:6?
2:6.
Oh, 2:6. I'm sorry. Okay, let's see here. 2:6.
I've got it. It says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate.
Right, but I was looking for the word. It's from the Nicolaites. So it's a Greek word. The adherents of Nicholas, which what he taught, I guess that's where they get it from, because, you know, they go back into, well, what did he teach?
Yeah, Nico doesn't mean Nicholas. It means power.
Hmm. Okay. Oh, I wanted to see what there says here. Now guess what? That's Strong's definition says that. Remember, I told you got to be careful with Strong, because he used. Now, if you go to the Thayer's Greek lexicon, Nicolaitans means destruction of the people.
Yep.
Well,
they always bring Nicholas into it, and that's wrong.
No, that's where we get the word Nike. We pronounce it Nike, but it comes from
power.
N-I-K-E in the Greek, which is Nike, and there's various forms of it here. It's Niko, but Nike is power. It's victory or power. So victory or power over the laity, which is, again, L-A-I-O-S, laos in the Greek, is the people, the laity. That's where the word laity comes from. So destruction of the people or victory over the people. So you're right. The Nicolaitans would be those that are under that teaching where the people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge because they're believing some guy behind a pulpit is telling them the truth when he's not.
Exactly.
Again, why we say organized religion is the bane of the people. So let's see here. Yeah, right here it gives a similar word in the concordance. It's the Greek word 3532, Nikolaos, and it means victorious over the people. And Nikolaos was a heretic. So you're right. That's what it's all about.
Exactly. Like you go to a Pentecostal church, and if you sit in those pews for a while, you start talking in tongues, which is total gibberish. Talking in tongues means you speak in a language that you didn't learn, like they did in Acts. The people heard them in their own tongue when the apostles were speaking to the varied nationalities that were in Jerusalem at that time. And they started talking about Yeshua to the people, and there were people from all over the world there, and everybody of a different language could hear them in their language of what they were speaking. That's talking in tongues.
Well, it's translated tongues, and it actually meant languages.
Languages. But the
thing that I've always found curious about all that, and everybody has their own opinions of it, and I've met plenty of people that speak in the tongues that the Pentecostal church talks about. But the one thing nobody's ever been able to answer for me is the Holy Spirit gave you that language. Okay, let's say that's true. I can't prove it or disprove it, but let's say that's true. Why would it not also, like, give me the ability to speak Russian all of a sudden? Or
the Bible says you need an interpreter when they speak in tongues.
Right. Somebody. It says that somebody should be there who understands what you're saying. There should be somebody there that understands what you're saying, whatever tongue it is you're talking in.
Exactly.
So, to me, that always meant when I was younger, that always meant that if I was on a vacation, I'm in France, and there's a group of Frenchmen that don't speak English there, and all of a sudden I can tell them about Yeshua in French, in fluent French, and they would understand what I'm saying. To me, that's what it meant.
Yes, that can happen. That's what the way it happens. It's a work of Yahweh.
That's my point. Why is it always a tongue that I have no idea what they're saying, and nobody in the room, most of the time I've ever been around it, nobody in the room knew what the person was saying. And I said, well, somebody has to be here to interpret it. If you're going to follow the scripture verbatim, the scripture says somebody should be here who can interpret. So, but anyway, that's a different discussion for a different night. But I've always been curious about that ever since I was a teenager in the Methodist church. And we used to talk about that amongst the elders and things like that. And when I got to be in my 30s and looking through concordances and looking up the Greek and the Hebrew words and all that stuff, and I would just scratch my head. It's like, again, it's differences of opinion from a lot of people, but I've always wondered that. Why is it always this strange tongue and not somebody walking in and all of a sudden they're able to speak a fluent Russian or Spanish or Italian or even Finnish, which is that's a strange language, don't we know? But anyway,
Minä on hyvä tyttö. Minä on hyvä poika. That's been.
Well, you,
that means you're a good boy.
Oh, say it again.
Sina on Huva Boika. It's not perfect, Finn. I only learned it from my parents. I could say a lot of swear words, but I won't.
No, we don't need to go into that. That was a sample, so that was good. Okay. I've pretty much got everything I want to talk about tonight. It's been an hour, believe it or not. That went fast. Do you have anything else there, Ella, before we go?
No, I think that's enough dose for today.
Yeah. Let me see if John has anything. Any questions, John, or anything you want to add before we go?
No, I don't.
Okay, buddy. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
Yah bless, John.
All righty. Close the mic or shut the microphones off. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and honor. Thank you for this opportunity to come together. We pray that these words that we spoke tonight will reach ears that are meant to hear it. These are crazy and chaotic times, much like you said. The great shaking in the heavens and the earth is, in the Greek language, is talking about exactly what we're seeing. People don't even know what male and female means anymore. They don't know that men and women are to be married and raise children and have a nuclear family. We think men can be women and women can be men. Totally, totally insane things that are going on today, and it's causing great stress and grief amongst people. But your children who walk this earth, they know better. They know the stage. Stay true to you, stay true to the truth, and just ignore what the world's doing. The world, just as it was in the days of Noah, all that chaos and all of that godlessness is going to vaporize here in the near future. And the only ones left standing are be those who love the Father and love the truth and obey his commandments. Live life as God, our Heavenly Father and Creator, as he intended it to be, rather than this mental construct created by demented and perverted individuals. This communist regime, this Zio-communism that's everywhere, it's all perversion, it's demented, it's sick, it's evil, it's mental illness, it's child abuse, all of the above. We just pray for the day that that righteous Ezekiel 37 army rises up and puts an end to this nonsense is sooner rather than later. And in the meantime, help us, Father, to get some people together to form our little communities, much like the Amish do. There is some land available for agriculture and whatnot, and there are people willing to work it and contribute. We just pray you'd send some help our way to obtain this so that we can be like little settlers and settle on the land and homestead it and produce things the way you intended it to be, rather than this sick, demented, for-profit-only mentality that is making everybody ill and lustful for money and what money buys. Help us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and always protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah. Good night, everybody.